hello, my friends. It's Andy coming to you live from Orange County, California, and my lovely bride, Hedia.
It makes me feel so young when you say my lovely bride, like I'm 20 years old.
You're not?
Oh, no. Whoops.
Wait a minute. What the heck's going on? Hey, I didn't ask you how you like my new camera. I put the new camera up just
It's amazing. Like the sharpness of the color is amazing. I don't know how many of you can notice that Andy has a new camera, but the depth of the green and the contrast of the colors is amazing.
Yeah, I'm rather liking it myself. There's things I can do. I can zoom in a lot easier. I can do a lot of other stuff here. I just can't get it to stay there. It'll pop out on its own in just a second. So I gotta figure out how to do all the, see, it just popped out. So it's got some weird settings. But we came off a really good weekend, and I hope everybody else had a good weekend too. I know that those of you in Texas are going through some stuff and that kind of stuff. So I hate to do this to y'all, but it's been beautiful here. So sorry. I mean, we have to say something positive about California because a lot of other things are just simply horrible. So just for that reason alone, we should be able to brag a little bit about the weather.
I think so, because every other aspect of living here is absolutely horrific. So at least we get to wake up in the morning and look at the sunshine and be like, at least it's beautiful out.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it's fair.
Yep. All right. Before we get started, just go to livingfearlessdevotional.com, especially those of you that have not listened to us before or come to this particular live cast. We have a podcast that goes, once we get done here, about an hour later, this live broadcast goes to an audio version into our podcast. And if you ever miss one, you'll have that to go to fall back on, and you can subscribe and put 5 stars in there and tell us how fabulous Hedy is and do that. Other than that, don't do anything. All right. All right. Let's go ahead and get into our devotional right away here, because it's a good one to start the week. It's a good one to start our week in regard to perseverance. So here we go. And again, as usual, we have Oswald Chambers' book, which is called our devotional called My Utmost for His Highest. We've been reading from this for quite a while now. We'll be coming upon a year before we know it. But I think when I started reading this, it was somewhere, again, I'm always guessing, but somewhere around April, I think, of 2021. And then we'll pick a new devotional. Today's is called The Discipline of Spiritual Perseverance. And the reference is Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Perseverance is more than endurance. It is endurance combined with absolute assurance and certainty that what we are looking for is going to happen. Perseverance means more than just hanging on, which may be only exposing our fear of letting go and falling. Perseverance is our supreme effort of refusing to believe that our hero is going to be conquered. Our greatest fear is not that we will be damned, but that somehow Jesus Christ will be defeated. Also, our fear is that the very things our Lord stood for, love, justice, forgiveness, and kindness among men, will not win out in the end and will represent an unattainable goal for us. Then there is the call to spiritual perseverance, a call not to hang on and do nothing, but to do work deliberately, knowing with certainty that God will never be defeated. If our hopes seem to be experiencing disappointment right now, it simply means that they are being purified. Every hope or dream of the human mind will be fulfilled if it is noble of God. But one of the greatest stresses in life, God, that just gave me the chills for some reason. Like, I'm so sorry. But one of the greatest stresses in life is the stress of waiting for God. He brings fulfillment because you have kept my command to persevere. Continue to persevere spiritually. Wow. I don't know what just happened to me, but I just got the chills of that, that last sentence. Let me read it one more time. If our hopes seemed to be experiencing disappointment right now, it simply means that they are being purified. Every hope or dream of the human mind will be fulfilled if it is noble and of God. Oh, we were just talking before we came on about some of the things that little hurdles we have right now that we have to negotiate that are just, it's just part of our life that, that existed before we met. And now suddenly everything has changed, right? Suddenly out of nowhere, both of our lives have changed. Like, and I never thought that I would come to get to be here ever again. In just waiting, right? And we've talked about this, you know, kind of that patience of waiting and persevering through the uncertainty of whether things are going to happen or not. And then something happened last night with the home that you are have up for sale and that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden now you have a buyer and we have all these new things. Like, wait a minute, maybe with the perseverance, good things are happening. We're still kind of hanging on with our fingertips, right? And I really, all these, the visual of everything that he wrote is exactly what our life is going through. Did you feel that same way, or was that just me?
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. I had a couple of thoughts. You want me to share some of the ones that came?
Yeah, as long as your mic is in front of you.
Oh, sorry. How's that?
Much better.
Is that better?
Yeah.
So perseverance is not just a fear of letting go. It's hanging on. And I'm reminded of a scripture in Luke, where the Lord says, he who is faithful or trustworthy with little is trustworthy with much. And it reminds me of this devotional. It reminds me of me writing op-eds where God wants to see that we're consistent and disciplined before he gives us a lot. And I am so grateful to you to being so for being so devoted to the devotional and us doing it together, because it's not about how many people or the success of it. It's about our consistency and showing the Lord that we're consistent and all the wonderful things you've done to promote it. It's just, I appreciate you and all that you've done to demonstrate your devotion to this, because it encourages and inspires me. And it is, so I did the same thing with the writing. I kept writing for this paper and it's been almost a year now. And then finally, they've asked me to become a columnist for them. And one of the things she said to me was, we wanted to see if you had the discipline to write consistently. And so I had somebody verbally confirm for me that exact same scripture, which I think is beautiful. So
that is awesome. Today. Just to remind you all that are watching, we have Priscilla and Ann who have commented. I would like you to do the same thing. Just comment, say good morning, say hi to each other. We love it when you guys, we're building this community, because one of the things what I can't see on my screen is that the times you guys are talking to one another. And when I get off and see these people that I know don't know each other other than through this devotional, through these lives, because some people live in Florida, some people live in Texas, some people live in California. So it is wonderful. So begin to communicate, begin to chat, because it's almost like a small group that we have here in a large world. Please comment. That'd be awesome. And tell us how you feel and what you think about the devotional. Were you going to say something just now?
Well, I just think that what I think some of the ladies, what we've learned to do, especially on your evening broadcast, is we put each other's names in, because you've told us you can't tell. So we say, like, you know, good morning, Priscilla, and hi, you know what I mean? And so that you could see that we're talking to each other and building that community, which is beautiful. I love that.
And what you're talking about, doing these on a daily basis, I have learned that there are some people, and we've talked to them. We've actually met them in church. Priscilla is one of those people who came down all the way from a great distance to kind of be at one of the services, that they felt that us being together as a group and us coming live has helped them in their walk. And if it's just Priscilla, I am happy to do this every day. If it's just Anne, stumbling across this every so often or actually getting these notifications, I'm happy to do these broadcasts. And so I just want to get onto the subject of perseverance. I would say that maybe in the beginning, because what I used to do before I even met Hedia is I would ride my bike to the park and I would get out my books and I would get out the camera and the tripod and set it all up there, and people would be walking by. And I don't know if those of you that were on, I think maybe Priscilla was on back in those days, the geese would come up and they would start nipping, you know, at my feet. it was a really interesting time, because the geese would come and they go wah, 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 as I'm trying to do my broadcast. And that perseverance that he's talking about is really funny, because there was a moment where I go, you know what? I got to go. I told them I would be on again today. And there would be this push that I would have to push myself out the door and gather the books. And almost sometimes there'd be this feeling like, oh, I really don't feel like going out there. It's a little bit cold today or what have you. And that's a little bit of that perseverance that I felt there was something other than myself pushing me out the door. That there was this like, you know, God is expecting this of you. Not that I was doing a devotional, just the work, the process of sharing his word and speaking it out and discipling to other people. As little as I know about, you know, the Bible and the references and the history, that I was still being pushed out to be a disciple of God's word to show people that even somebody that knows very little can have an impact on somebody's life. And so there was that. And now I want to go into phase two, since we have met. Now there's almost like the perseverance is that I can't not do it. Like, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I think of, I go, oh, I can't wait to see what the devotional is. I got to get my camera set up. I got to do go to Canva and make the thumbnail. And it's just like, now it's become like, oh God, it's almost like with a smile on my face. If you, you know, it's like, the seven, is it the seven dwarves? Is it seven of them? How many dwarves are there? It's like, whistle while you work. It's like, whistle while you work. Like I'm go to do the same. And no matter how challenging the morning might be, that perseverance has turned into a whistle while you work type of thing. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's a different type of perseverance.
It follows the scripture. It follows the scripture. Whoever is faithful with little will be faithful with much. That's God speaking to us. So he's speaking to us, telling us, demonstrate that you're faithful, then I know I can give you more. I mean, it's biblical. That's a biblical concept. So I think it's amazing that you've stayed so dedicated to it. And I appreciate that.
I think it's amazing too, considering what we talk about all the time, that my path was not, was not on this path before, that suddenly something so foreign to me and a little bit scary to talk about something that I'm not fully. Like I study, like when I want to be a dog trainer, I use dog training all the time as an example. But when I wanted to be a police officer, I went from a guy driving buses, doing magic, being a magician, knowing nothing about law enforcement. And then I decided, you know what? I think I want to be a cop. I know nothing about law enforcement. I never even talked to a cop. And the one time I did, I almost peed my pants because I thought, oh my God, I'm talking to a cop. Like I was a teenager in high school. And then suddenly I decided nobody in my family's ever been a cop, nothing. But when I decided, I threw myself into, just complete, what's it called when you, it starts with an R, when you, I think it starts with an R, you just total dive in completely. Like your whole day encompasses the study of something. I can't think of the name of it. As they do it with language too. When you want to learn a language, they
immersion.
What's that?
Immersion.
Yeah. See, that starts with an R. Immersion. Total immersion. There's an R in the word immersion. And so total immersion, my life just suddenly shifted from, being a magician and doing the other stuff. And I immersed myself into being a cop. I subscribed to Police Magazine. Every article in the Herald Examiner at the time, which was a popular newspaper that my dad had delivered to the house, even got the LA Times, the communist LA Times, and Orange County Register. I subscribed to all three of those newspapers to read every article that involved LAPD, because my goal was to go to LAPD. And just immerse myself in everything in law enforcement, so that I can know about it before I went and took my very first test. So I knew everything I knew about LAPD's history. I knew everything. And I ended up getting hired by LAPD. Eventually I would work at Anaheim Police Department, but that's the thing. So I'm just telling you that example. That's my history, that if I don't want to ever feel foolish. When I wanted to play hockey, what I do? I went and got trained by professional hockey trainers to train me how to play hockey. And I told nobody about it. Right? Suddenly I'm on the ice and I can skate. Like, wait a minute. Last week you couldn't skate. Now all of a sudden you can stop, you can start, and you can skate. Like, what happened to you? Well, I went and got professional help. All right. So now to this thing, which is scary, I just dove in. I knew nothing.
Well, but I think the Lord would, he accepts whatever we do to go forward because his word never comes back void. It never comes back without purpose. But I did the same thing in becoming a Christian, becoming a Christ follower. And that's why when you ask me, you're like, you've been a Christian for 3 minutes. How do you know all this stuff? And I'm like, well, I did what you just described. I mean, I bought the Bible, I bought Logos software, and I just sat at home and absorbed it. I mean, I literally, for Romans and Acts, which people told me were the best books of the Bible for new believers, I literally did a commentary. I went line by line and wrote out my notes and everything that the Lord downloaded to my heart for those two books of the Bible. So I've got 60 pages of notes on those two books. So I think it's also, it's being faithful, not only in evangelizing, but also being faithful in learning.
So interesting. We took two different paths. I just kind of dove in. Like I just jumped in the water. I jumped in the freezing cold water and you learned to swim, you know, you learned all the strokes. I mean, you took your time to learn anything. And yet here we are together, you know, and so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When it comes to God, he doesn't care. Right. Yes. He just wants you to accept his Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then everything else is up to you. How do you walk? How do you talk? You know, what's your loyalty? You know, would you do the same thing when nobody's around? Really, that's the biggest challenge, right? I could come on and I could be fooling y'all. I could be coming on and saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm pretty transparent. I say a lot of things I probably shouldn't say, and I share a lot of things I probably shouldn't share. But the biggest challenge, and that's what I tell my children, of course, all the time, I said, how do you act when you're not around me? How do you act when you think Jesus isn't watching? And just so you know, Jesus is watching all the time. Like there is the important thing. The good news is, I'm the same on camera as I'm off. I don't know if that's good or not, but I am totally dedicated. We read stuff. Hedy and I reread, you know, books. We listen to all night long. We listen to, you know, different pastors all night long. We are in this. We're in it to win it. And that's part of that perseverance. And we know we need to have that perseverance because very easily we can flip back to the old man or the old woman.
The old Bonnie and Clyde. Yeah. I also want to bring up another thing because I listened to this great talk by General Flynn yesterday on this channel called His Glory. And I want to post the link to that too, because he said something quite interesting in response to a question. And it's what I found, what Oswald said about never giving up and never accepting defeat. Our greatest fear is not that we'll be damned, but that somehow Jesus Christ will be defeated. And so the question they asked him was, there are so many of the president's followers or conservative Christians who feel really broken and defeated. And what would you say to them? And he's like, one thing I'll tell you as a general and a man on the battlefield and a soldier for Christ is never accept defeat. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, whoa, like, what do you mean never accept defeat? You know, especially in an election. And he went on to explain there are still legal challenges. There are still ways in which we need to rectify what happened. So it doesn't matter that the seat is ultimately not his right now, but what matters is we never give up the fight for truth and justice, and that it is that lies need to be exposed, that we need to make sure that evil is on the run. And he's like, socialism is an evil. It's a non-God-based theory or philosophy or a way of life, and we must stay dedicated to defeating it. And I love that because that's exactly the way we should treat the gospel of Christ. It doesn't matter how many people hate us or dislike us or think that what we're saying is stupid or foolish or whatever, he will never be defeated and we shall never accept defeat.
That is awesome. I remember I watched that yesterday too, after you sent it to me.
Oh, and did that, you like it?
Yeah. And I hate to bring this down because what you said, and I don't want to bring it down, but reminds me of Monty Python. I don't know if you ever watched Monty Python, but there were these comedians from England and they had a show years and years ago. It was on Channel 52. And there's one, and they do a bunch of skits. And there's one skit where this knight is, you know, he's not a very good knight. He doesn't know how to fight with a sword, but he's supposed to be feared. And the guy comes up and like chops off his arm and he goes, that's okay. I still got my other arm. And then he chops off his legs. He goes, that's okay. I still got, right? And then he chops off that arm. Hey, come back here. I'm going to bite you. Like the guy will not be defeated. He does not give up. That's kind of where, sorry to use that as an example, but it's one of my favorite skits is that he was, I don't care. I am not going to give up. I'm going to fight all the way to the last drop of blood.
I mean, to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Yes.
Yesterday, right? It's just kind of like, okay, you tell me I've got 3 months to live. Great. You're going to come to my funeral and learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's go. I don't care. You tell me I'm going to die. You tell me I'm going to be hated. Who cares? To live is Christ, die is gain.
Yes. That's just so powerful. And our country, you know, there's a couple times where you're thinking, oh man, we're just going to be, we're going to be living in China. You know, we're going to have a new flag here in the United States, but that's a defeatist attitude. Right. Yeah. There is that moment where you're thinking, wow, I can't believe all this is happening. Like, what the heck? Like, who's so silly to think that that socialism, Marxism, all these things are a positive thing? Who's thinking that? But we begin to see that message begin to kind of come unraveled. I think if you were to listen to, just even the press secretary getting questioned now by what used to be a friendly press, they're now beginning to turn on even the press secretary. They're even beginning to turn on Kamala Harris. They're asking the tough way, hey, wait a minute. Now you can't blame this last guy. You're still blaming this last guy. You've been, what's going on? And I really enjoy it because it can't sustain itself. Evil will eventually turn on itself. And now they begin to fight. So just don't have that, that defeatist attitude.
Yeah. And that's General Flynn pointed to that too. He's like, we've got them on the run. He's like, we've just got to keep at it. Now that we're awake and now that we're watching and now that we realize that evil has come to our shores, we cannot give up because we chip away at it every single day. All of us can chip away at it, whether it's on the school board with Leandra or it's in our communities. We can chip away at whatever advances they make by never accepting defeat.
Yeah, and they keep thinking we're just going to give up. I mean, they're arresting pastors in Canada. They are shutting down churches, and yet we're fighting back. They're underestimating us.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I learned in karate when I took karate. Never underestimate your opponent. You end up making them stronger. Exactly. Is what ends up happening. And just for a little squirrel here, Priscilla says she really loves your color of your lipstick.
I'd like to say thank you, Priscilla, because I debated whether it was going to work today. And thank you for the reassurance.
Anne is 83 today. Happy birthday, Anne.
Happy birthday, Anne.
83.
That's
wow. That is awesome. I hope her ribs are feeling better. I remember she had a cracked rib the other day. So we're still praying for that. Let's see. There was one other one. Where'd it go? Oh,
Monty Python.
Yeah, Carl remembers one of the lines. It's only a flesh wound.
Exactly.
I'm gonna find that clip. Say. Yeah, it's only a flesh wound. Come back here. I'll bite you. Come back. That's my English accent. How'd you like it?
It's fantastic.
All right. Anything else with perseverance? I'm glad you went that direction because that's actually the first place I was going to go when I read it was about the church and about that kind of stuff. And then, of course, it came all about me. And I think that's why I like Dak, too. He doesn't have a defeatist attitude whatsoever. Not at all. He's a fighter. And that's why I will walk right alongside him. You and I both. On either side of Jack walking into the next battle. Whatever that battle is, we'll be walking there with him. Yeah. Anything else you got for perseverance?
I think that's it. It's just, I think, as you often point out, it's a community. As a community of believers, we need to persevere. And personally, we need to persevere. And actually, there was one thing that struck me where he says that if you believe that you're going to have this victory. If it's in God's will, you will. And I realize that that is what the Lord means about perspective, in the sense that when we want to manifest fruits of the Spirit, character like Christ, then the external circumstances of our lives become less significant than our internal circumstances. Mm-hmm. So we can live with joy and peace and love and happiness, and joy, peace, love, and perseverance, self-control, no matter what's happening around us. So it doesn't mean that we have to have a perfect life. We have an internal perfection that comes from Christ that would make all those things possible. It's not about everything in life falling into place. It's about having the internal peace that matters.
You know, there's one thing, as you were talking and I was, I was listening to what you were saying, then kind of going over a little bit of the utmost for his highest, and then remembering yesterday, all these things are starting to come together. And I love how these little things kind of go, oh, wait. And that is what Jack talked about when you're in service. And he goes, no matter how good I am pastoring, you guys still have these thoughts that come through. And these little daggers, and the difference of being a Christ follower is that when sometimes these thoughts come in, you kind of go, oh, there's that thought, and you're comfortable with it, and you're like, that's the devil that's still in you. You need to work out. The other way is that you have that thought and you get it out of your mind right away and go back to focusing on what the pastor's saying or whatever it is that you're reading, and that is being in Christ and having Christ in you. Yeah. But with you talking, it's also knowing who the enemy is. Like, yes. In my previous walk, in my previous life, I didn't realize that that was the enemy. I was comfortable with that enemy. I was okay with that enemy. But now having identified the enemy is completely different. I mean, Carl knows, he's a police officer too, and me being in law enforcement and you too, is that if you go into battle or if you're going into hostile area, if you don't know who the enemy is, who do you know who to fight? Right. You could actually become friends with the enemy, and not, I mean, in a bad way, not in a good way. Sometimes it's good to know your enemy. Right. But you could, by not knowing, you could surely be following somebody who is a false teacher. Right. Or a false. Yes. Yeah. Right. A false teacher. But now I am so easily. Oh, what's the word I'm looking for? It's much more easy for me to identify the enemy and know when he's creeping in. And now you and I. Right. We actually have this discussion all the time. And you've been way better at me than me, but you identify the enemy really quickly in some of our discussions. And it's so different now than it was when we first met. Like, it's so much, when you can identify the enemy, it's so much quicker to defeat the enemy and then move back on to, get back on the path. I don't know why that just hit me right now, but the identification of the devil working in our lives and accepting the devil as being real. That was the other thing. I never really thought, they talk about this devil who it's so silly, silly talk, but knowing that he exists and knowing that he's actually working against us all the time and trying to find those little, chinks in our armor, has been much more powerful, knowing who the enemy is and identifying him much quicker to defeat him.
Oh, for sure. And it's like we were talking about yesterday, where we want to run back to those defeatist patterns as our like little binky, like it's this walk is hard. So it's so much easier to just slip back into those patterns that led to nothing good, but they're familiar. They're familiar and they're comfortable. And so the inclination of our flesh is to return to that. And the enemy just wants to pull us that way, but we have to consciously put every thought captive under the command of Christ Jesus and just be like, as Jack said, get out. I'm not doing that. I'm not being that. That old man is dead, and you're not taking me back there.
Hmm. Wow, I can't wait to journal today. There's a couple of new things that just kind of like, oh my gosh, that is so good. Just such good stuff.
Love that. Oh.
These are amazing times that we all do together, and I really appreciate it. I appreciate the comments. The comments trigger things that benefit our devotional. So I love it when you guys comment and have little words of wisdom that come through, and just the joy of knowing that it's Ann's birthday, and we'll be thinking about her birthday today, and all the stuff that comes through. And Hedy's lipstick.
Wow. just to have that verbal affirmation, because my love language is words of affirmation. Yes. So.
You know, actually, your whole color scheme, even the covers of the books and your hair and the top you're wearing and your lipstick, it's just this is the thing. I, on the other hand, red, but it's like Christmas with a green background.
I want to also comment on what Carl says. If you pull up, God gives us the gift of discernment. Mm-hmm. And that is so true, is that the more you walk with him, the more he will point out to you, because he knows you're aware, you're listening, you're watching, that he will give you that gift. He will strengthen the gift of discernment, where you look at something and you're like, that's not of God. That thought needs to get out of my head right now. And you fight it. And you have to fight. You have to put on the full armor of God. You got to take up the shield of faith. You got to take up the sword of the spirit and be like, no, not today, devil. We're not doing that today.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This has been so good. And again, I appreciate you guys. Thank you for Oswald Chambers' wife for putting this book together for Oswald after his passing. God bless him. Sometimes I read it and I go, oh, you know, maybe we'll make something of this. I should never doubt God's word coming out of something else, but just the God's word coming out and the inspiration that it brings is just so spectacular. It's miraculous. I love that word. It's my new favorite word, miraculous. Things have been miraculous over the last couple of days.
I love that.
All right, Hedy, any last words?
That's it. Have a beautiful day. God bless you.
All right. Take care. Happy birthday, Ann.
Happy birthday.